Lawyers, has there ever been a time the opposing counsel accidentally proved your case for you and what happened? My opposing counsel made some off-the-cuff remarks about how their client had to go to another remote office to get all the records they wanted to use against my client. That let me know the witness they were trying to use to introduce the records as evidence wasn't actually familiar with the records or the records keeping process. In the jurisdiction we were in, records were exception to hearsay rule, but you needed someone familiar with the creation and maintenance of the records to get them admitted. I attacked the witness qualifications to get the records admitted and ended up getting the records excluded. I then made a motion for a directed verdict on the grounds they couldn't prove the case without the records and won. All because the opposing counsel complained that their witnesses had to go way out of their way to get records for the court. IAAL. Not my case, but I was in the courtroom watching a trial. Pro se defendant who was accused of flashing a guard and masturbating till, well, you know, as a pro se defendant, he defended himself at trial without an attorney. Prosecutor was doing well proving the case. When the female deputy was on the stand, the defendant asked her one question: if you saw me do what you claim I did, then how big is my dong? The deputy responded by raising her hands and estimated about 15 inches. The guy grinned, turned to the jury, nodded, said yeah, that's right, and sat down. Obviously he was convicted. He was doing a 10-year prison sentence, so this conviction wasn't of much consequence, but I'll never forget it. I think that guy may have been innocent but went down for an even greater cause. I had a hearing where the opposing party offered an updated contract that my client supposedly signed, except it was a horrible copy and barely readable. Then he assured the judge that the new contract was exactly the same as the old contract, except for the party name at the top. The original contract was in his mom's name, the new one in his name, and the date of the contract itself. He made that assurance multiple times. After he exhausted himself saying how everything was the same, I then pointed out to the judge that half the provisions were different and that my client had never signed that form. The judge asked if we were really accusing him of forging my client's signature, since that's a serious accusation. I held up the guy's prior conviction for contract fraud and said I absolutely am. Your Honor, we won. Hands down. No further argument needed. Whoa. Those guys were either incredibly stupid, or stupidly confident in their skills of trickery. My dad is a lawyer. It's happened several times that the defendant submits or provides video evidence of assault or unlawful detainment, but assumes it will go unnoticed in 50 plus hours of footage. My dad watches everything. He got a multi-million-dollar settlement from a major casino after pointing out a moment that proved video doctoring. There was the car one too. He had a bunch of recordings and found a spot in the recording, submitted by the other side, where they are discussing what they need to show and how they will prove it. If I recall correctly, he played the recording in court as a surprise. They had nothing to say and he won after like 4 days of back and forth. I believe you have to get to a point where that evidence would come up. That's why he couldn't start there. My dad is a total badass. Ian Orr was in court for a friend. The guy in front of us was contesting a ticket. His defense was that he was passing a car at the time, and they got the radar reading from the car he was passing, not from him. He didn't win that appeal. Plaintiff was claiming insurance money because he accidentally chopped off his fingers while cutting bamboo with a machete, and the insurance company, our client, refused to pay the insured amount. During the hearing, the plaintiff attorney began to demonstrate with a rolled up sheet of paper how his client was cutting the bamboo when the accident happened. No matter how he tried, he could not reproduce the position of the fingers with the alleged cut of the machete. The only possible match would be if the plaintiff had deliberately extended his fingers over a plane surface and hacked his own fingers. Based on this disastrous performance, the judge determined an expert opinion and later dismissed the case due to deliberate self-mutilation. While he was a jerk, one has to wonder what sort of trouble he was in to chop off his own fingers for insurance money. I do only civil litigation. You would think it would generally be a battle against equals. Professionals v. professionals. It's not. I face a fair amount of parties representing themselves pro se, often otherwise smart people who wouldn't think to do their own plumbing, or operate on their own appendix, but have no qualms about appearing in court on their own behalf. Surprisingly, they don't know what they are doing. S. One of my favorites, from a deposition. We didn't pay, Company X's invoices, because we heard they were going through bankruptcy. They weren't. And, B, it wouldn't be a valid defense to non-payment if they had been. It happens more often than you would think. One attorney that people continue to hire, Brian, is sort of a legend. As opposing counsel 4 times in 6 years, he has lost cases against my firm where he could have won. This is civil litigation, but the guy has a knack for spoiling his momentum. One in particular, the evidence pointed to our client was at fault and we were asked to settle. Brian introduced a witness and voicemail to the record. We had no knowledge of these and asked to review. Upon review, we were confused as the voicemail had nothing to do with proving their case and made the plaintiff look like a lunatic. It was full of incoherent rambling and swearing. We allowed the exhibits to be entered and they went over as we expected, and we won the counterclaim. Not an attorney, but I did an internship at the city's attorney's office one summer, leading to not wanting to be an attorney. Man was suing the city for evicting him from a public housing development. Claims he doesn't speak English and forced the city to hire an interpreter for the hearing. City says he was evicted because he was raising chickens in the apartment. His attorney insists that's absurd. No one would do that. Pushes for proof the chickens were his clients. Judge wasn't convinced about the proof. Everything looks like it is going well for the guy until it comes up that the chickens were given to a farm for slaughter. Guy jumps up and starts yelling, "Give me my chickens back," in English. Judge starts laughing. Attorneys start laughing. Case is dismissed. It's quite a sadistic picture. Poor guy is devastated after learning that his chicken children have been sent to slaughter. Judge laughs. Attorneys laugh. Man now evicted. Scene. Not a lawyer. Went to court. Yada. Traffic light out. Cops everywhere handing out tickets. I get one for rolling through a red light, though I had stopped. I stated it was possible the officer just didn't see me stop and asked if any other officers were witness. Officer replied, "Every cop in our department was there handing out tickets." Judge said, "None of you thought to direct traffic? Seems like you handed out enough tickets that you recognized the downlight was a problem." Dismissed. Judge dismissed every one of the tickets that were contested in the room from that day. One cop wasted half the force's night. I hope he never lives it down. Not a lawyer, but represented myself against an employer who terminated me. I spent hours upon hours, day after day, preparing for this case. I printed out emails, recorded telephone calls, mountains of evidence. I wore my best suit and, nervous as all frick, showed up ready to plead my case. When I get there, my former employer opens with, "We terminated Womilkerson for truancy. He was supposed to report to work after his doctor's appointment, but did not show up until 3 p.m. There's an awkward silence. The judge says, "But in your written statement, you claim he didn't report to work until 12 p.m. In the time card you presented to me, it shows that Womilkerson reported to work at 10:30 a.m. More silence. I won. Opposing counsel introduced a highly relevant and bloody crucial piece of evidence during the cross-examination itself. We were really pee, and we had every right to argue that this was deliberate suppression of relevant documents during discovery, but rather than object to its admissibility, we asked for our lunch break to commence earlier so we could take instructions from our client as to how to proceed, which turned out to be a darn excellent course of action. The document prima facie looked supportive of the defendant's case, but it actually in substance was pretty damning for them. We basically came back from the lunch break to rub the defendant's witness face in it, and the witness was so shaken, he broke. For lack of a better word to describe how he couldn't carry on his bulls, and completely admitted to his negligence on the stand. He admitted as well that he copied the expert's opinion, instead of giving his own independent evidence. It was a beautiful trial. My father is a physician and occasionally serves as an expert witness in some cases involving insurance payouts for car wrecks. He had just spent some time explaining all of the different forces involved in the accident and how that could translate to years of back problems. His specialty, He was quite technical in his explanation, and the opposing attorney thought that my dad was overreaching his expertise and was talking more as an engineer rather than a doctor. So he asked him if he was an engineer. My dad responded that yes, he was in fact an engineer, as he had a bachelor's in engineering from before he went to med school. It apparently didn't completely resolve the case, but the attorney did have to backtrack quite a bit, and it really strengthened the patient's case that the insurance company should continue paying for treatment. Your dad is basically a rocket surgeon. Now, but work with lots. We deal with car accidents. And this particular girl was claiming severe whiplash and lower back injuries from a minor rear-end accident. Some of her injuries were legitimate, but she was claiming that her life was ruined and she was unable to function in society. She worked as a physical therapy aide studying to become a PT, so she knew just what to say, but she didn't know what not to post on Facebook. She claimed she was in constant pain after the accident and couldn't go to the gym. The day after the accident, there's a pic of her lifting weights, hashtag accident can't hold me back. She claimed a month of lost wages, but there she is in a patient graduation from treatment. Photo on her work's website the week after TGE accident. She missed 0 days of work. She claimed that she couldn't travel anymore, and guess who had photos of Vegas strippers all over her Instagram for her sister's 21st birthday? She asked for $200k, and she got $9k for the legitimate injuries and mediation, as the mediator laughed at her Facebook feed. Not a lawyer, but a relative of a retired prosecutor. Relative was working misdemeanor criminal court. Cases get called in alphabetical order, and two women named Catherine Smith and Catherine Smith were scheduled to have their hearings before the judge. Not their actual names, but you get the point. Both had similar crimes, but slightly different. So the bailiff announces the next case to the courtroom, Catherine Smith. 4-1 count of possession of C with the intention to sell, and 1 count of prostitution. So Catherine Smith stands up and indignantly cries, "Whoa, whoa, just wait a second, where the heck did the prostitution charge come from? I may deal crack, but I am not a W. Easiest drug dealing case my relative ever prosecuted. Jesus Christ, that sounds like it'd be a scene out of a comedy movie." A while back I was prosecuting an illegal discharge of hazardous substances at a recycling facility. Specifically, the charge was for illegal storage and disposal of CRT glass, which contains lead, cadmium, and a few other haz substances. To demonstrate that the owner had no idea that he was receiving CRT glass, the defense attorney introduced shipping manifests that lacked the term CRT, monitors, or any other word that indicated that material. A close inspection of the manifests, however, indicated that the defense attorney had just control plus F the documents for certain keywords. Because what the manifests also demonstrated was that this facility, as well as two additional facilities owned by the defendant, had been accepting asbestos, hexavalent chromium, and various other hazardous substances that the facility was not authorized to take. That attorney literally handed us the case on a silver platter. We found emails linking the defendant to knowledge of the CRT disposal as well, so we even convicted him on our original charge. I represented a client who was defrauded into purchasing a bad business. The defendant was not willing to settle, and all settlement talks eventually halted. Also, the defendant's attorney was pretty slimy and told me they didn't have a lot of the records I was requesting because her computer crashed and had to be formatted. The defendant got a new attorney a year into the case, and her new attorney told me about all of these records his client had, several of which proved my case and were supposedly destroyed in the computer crash. His client was clearly not happy. A settlement was reached shortly after. Lawyer here. Had a trial where the basic elements of the claim against my client amounted to 1. That he abused opposing party, and 2. That she was in threat of future abuse. All nonsense, but that's what they needed to show. We get to trial and opposing party, who was supposed to be unrepresented, shows up with 5 lawyers, 2 advocates, and 2 interpreters. But this is a family law issue and these lawyers are from a business law firm. I'm curious where this will go. They put on a case that never once mentions any abuse or threat of future abuse and end by proving that she had secretly moved to another town prior to filing the motion, meaning that he couldn't pose a threat to her because he didn't know where she was. I just pointed out to the judge that there was no need for me to put on a case. WTF. school lawyer here. Had a student claim she aggravated an injury at school because the teacher hadn't followed the doctor's orders. When the doctor got on the stand, he testified that a few weeks after filling out the school form, which we had, he'd spoken to the mom on the phone and ordered some changes to the student's routine. Then mom testified that she'd emailed this new info to the teacher, except we had all the emails, and none of them said anything about the doctor. Mom backtracked and said she must have forgotten because she'd been busy at work. And then, at closing argument, the family's attorney explained to the jury that schools are subject to a heightened standard, willful and wanton, not negligence. And so it was their job to determine whether the school had disregarded a known danger. Naturally, we argued that the school couldn't well disregard a known danger if no one had ever told them about the new routine in the first place. The jury agreed. Not a lawyer. My wife got hit by a drunk driving teenager years ago. Parents have $$$$$$ and friends with the cops, so they get it hidden that their daughter was super drunk. She couldn't even stand up. According to some nurses who lived across the street and responded right away, their insurance refuses to pay without evidence. Wife tells lawyer to take it to court. In deposition, the teenager freely admits she was drinking. Says it totally changed her life. She couldn't believe she almost killed someone. She's never touched a drop since and really sorry for all of this that her parents have done. Insurance company lawyer looks at wife's lawyer and says we will give you a call tomorrow. Row. Can't believe that apple rolled that far away from the tree. That said, one could argue parents protecting their child is a good thing. But at this point this was only about money. So yeah, frick them. My wife is a court clerk. She told me a story a court clerk friend of hers told her. Duh has a shaky case at best against a defendant. Police were trying to pin a drug charge on a guy with literally zero evidence. The report read that a certain amount of weed and M were found and recovered in the defendant's car, but the evidence was lost. Guy maintains his innocence and has no priors. The defense attorney is destroying the officers on the stand for inconsistencies between their accounts and poor documentation on the official police report. The prosecution's ace in the hole was a part of the police report that reads something to the effect that the police canine said there was marijuana and M and in the car. Rather than saying something like the police canine alerted the officers to the presence of drugs, it left the defense attorney no choice but to call the police canine to the stand to confirm its testimony. The drops the case. Yes, I used to videotape depositions many years ago. Client was suing insurance company for 2 years back wages after an injury. Conversation went like this. Insurance lawyer, it says you're asking for $120,000 for 2 years back pay. Client, yup, $60,000 per year. Ill, well, we have your previous tax returns. Those are only $30,000 per year. Client's lawyer, I'd advise you to. Client, I know. I only put that on my tax form. I actually make much more. The insurance lawyer very calmly asked to go off the record. He said, well, your client just admitted to tax fraud on video. This case is pretty much done now, and I don't want to put you out, but I need to figure out whether or not I'm legally compelled to tell the judge or IRS about this. We'll be in touch. TLDR. Guy suing for back wages admitted to tax fraud on video deposition. Did work experience at a trial where the victim flat out stated that the defendant was innocent. Turns out she's pretty bad at English, so when she gave her account it appeared that the defendant had committed a crime. They then gave her a witness statement to sign. She can't read no good, so just signed it anyway. This all came out of testimony whilst the prosecution lawyer desperately tried to get her to rephrase what she said. Funnily enough, the trial wasn't immediately thrown out, so they brought more witnesses in to testify, all backing up the wrong account of what happened. Comma, this all came out of testimony whilst the prosecution lawyer desperately tried to get her to rephrase what she said. Funnily enough, horrifyingly enough, the trial wasn't immediately thrown out, so they brought more witnesses in to testify, all backing up the wrong account of what happened. FTFY. A barrister friend told me about a case observation she witnessed during her training. A guy was up for fricking a minor and he adamantly insisted to his lawyer that his defense was that he had never even seen the girl, yet alone met her. This despite witnesses in the bar and incriminating CCTV footage showing someone who looked like him leaving the bar and going to his car in the car park. When he was questioned, He steadfastly stuck to his story. When the questioning ended, there was a pause and he yelled at the judge, "There was no way I could have known she wasn't 16 when she sucked me off," literally blowing his whole case. Accidentally proved? Not often. Made tactical errors? Often. Arguing a case on a voter recount in front of a judge. Judge says, "I'm going with X. That's in my favor." So I shut up. Opposing counsel, in arguing a different point later, suddenly goes back to the earlier point and belabors it. Client, also a lawyer, says to me, "Don't say anything." I whisper back, "Don't worry, wasn't planning to." Judge begins rubbing his nose and looking irritated. After a few minutes, cuts off opposing counsel, saying, "I already ruled on this point, Mr. Smith." Me, "Anything to add?" I replied in the negative, and won my motion. Would it have come out differently? I don't know. Did opposing counsel make it easier for me? Absolutely. IAAL. This was a restraining order case. My dude had allegedly been within 500 feet of his ex. At trial it came out that she had told my guy that she had told him the restraining order was dropped. Hence he couldn't have violated the restraining order willfully. Judge got furious and dismissed the case. It's amazing how many people miss that part of a restraining order, usually reinforced by the judge. It goes both ways, and if you intentionally violate the order, you can be in trouble, too. Not a lawyer, I know, but my parents were in a lawsuit where this happened. They owned a business, and on the either side of it were businesses as well. Their neighbor to the left sued us, claiming that we had been using their property without paying them or without permission. That we were essentially trying to adverse possess it. We got a surveyor to come in and the surveyor said that not only were we using all of our property, but we had been paying rent to them on about 20 feet that was also our property. Obviously they weren't happy, so they got their own surveyor, who gave us 50 feet. We won the lawsuit. Now their little patch of property has a rusty fence all around it with keep out signs everywhere. It's about 20x10 feet. I am a lawyer who defends estate from injury claims. There was a claim where there was a dispute as to the value of a state employee's injury. We went to trial to argue the extent of the injury. When the employee takes the stand and is under direct examination by her attorney, she is unable to answer basic questions about her name and address. Everyone just thought it was nerves, but eventually the employee confesses that she is a convicted felon and she stole her sister's identity to obtain the state job. Judge's jaw hits the floor and the employee's attorney just keeps going through his examination like nothing happened. The judge stopped him and had the court reporter read back the testimony. The employee's attorney was still oblivious to what happened. The judge recommended the employee drop her case and quit her job immediately. The employee's attorney wanted to keep going. The judge then told him that his client will drop her case and quit. Case was dropped and she quit that afternoon. The vast majority of the time, it's not an opponent who directly proves up my case but the expert, S. He she hires instead. It's only happened twice in my relatively short career but these types of cases usually settle real quick after the shortest depositions of my life. L. Do you have an opinion on what may have caused plaintiff's spinal condition? D. Yes. L. In your opinion, within a reasonable degree of medical and surgical certainty, could it have been what happened to him at work? D. No. A lot of doctors charge for a pre-interview before a deposition and a lot of attorneys hate paying, so I understand how this can happen, but I've got to feel for the guy at the end of one of those deps. Former prosecutor in the UK here. Defendant had not attended community service and went to trial stating he had a valid reason not to attend. Usually we would accept doctor's notes, proof of hospital admission, evidence of travel disruption, but he had none of this. He told his solicitor he was unwell and his note was lost in the post. I began cross-examination by asking if he attended on the date. No, I didn't. Did he have a transport issue? No. Was he unwell? No. I'm fit as a fiddle. I looked at his solicitor, a friend of mine outside court, and he buried his head in his hands. So why didn't you attend? Oh bugger, I was meant to say I was sick, wasn't I? Quickest trial I ever won. Not a lawyer, but I had a legal dispute settled this way. Had a car crash, in which both myself and the other party were driving towards each other, both too quickly around a corner and crashed. A few minutes after the crash, another driver, who knew the other driver in the crash, arrived on the scene and offered to act as a witness, despite not having seen the crash. In this witness description of the event, they started off by describing the roads as totally blocked by hedges, with no visibility of the traffic ahead. They then went on to describe how they could see my driving as way too fast for the conditions, having seen me from miles ahead. Obviously called them on the contradiction and got the blame split 50/50. Now, but I got my younger brother out of a traffic ticket related to a minor fender bender. I went to traffic court with him and asked the judge for permission to assist him, since he was under 18 at the time. The judge was cool with it. Anyways, the first thing I said was my brother asked for, it was never shown, a copy of the police report from the responding officer. Can we see it before we go any further? The county's attorney said there isn't one. The officer failed to complete his report because he was called to another incident immediately after this one. The case dismissed, court fees returned. If you are new to the channel, you can subscribe. I publish new videos every day. Until then, check another video. Bye for now.